flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
A walk gives the Astros life. If you're wondering about Burley, his last relief appearance was in the 2000 AL Division Series against Seattle, Game 2. He has no major league saves, and in 2000, Burley was a rookie.
Don Cooper, the pitching coach, on the phone. Is Burley ready? Of course.
A winning run at the plate. Tying runs are on. Ball one. Everett was 0-3 against Burley in Game 2. Everett pops it up on the infield for Uribe. The White Sox are up 3-0.
I just was honest and said, yeah, I had a few beers in between the innings, and I don't think it was a big deal. Just enjoying a cocktail.
So legendary, man. Mark Burley, he had been told he wasn't going to be used that day. He had taken off his cleats. He had cracked a couple of beers. And then it's like, oh, yeah, this game is going on for forever. Hey, Burles, might want to sober up and get up. What do you mean? You might have to close. What? A World Series game? I'm halfway drunk. And there it is.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And Burley getting a statue, it couldn't be more deserving. I think it's just awesome, as we have discussed. We're going to do a little Sox, a little Cubs here, and we've got some Sox and Cubs news stuff to get to regarding rumors and roster building at 25 minutes after the hour with our guy John Paul Morosi from MLB Network. But Lawrence, you've had a long relationship with the folks over at Sox Machine. Exactly. And me on Hit and Run and otherwise, I've always loved the work of Jim Margulis and James Fegan, and the fact that they're together over at Sox Machine now is a truly incredible thing.
And our guy Josh, too.
Josh Nelson, of course. But like I was reading today, Margulis wrote a piece about the Burley statue and what the poses could be, but it includes just a great line, which, you know, it could be a throwaway, how like people used to steal what what Jack Buck used to say about Bob Gibson, that he pitched, or sorry, it was Vin Scully used to say about Bob Gibson, he pitched like he was double parked. But Margulis says Burley pitched like the hitter was double parked, because he always looked calm and under control, and he made the hitters seem rushed and out of sorts, which is a great little throwaway line.
His tempo made batters uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And it made it a joy. I thought about that, too. Like, one of the more iconic moments for him is the flip.
And he had that as one of the options.
But that's a terrible look for a statue.
You can't do the ball in midair. Like,
I mean, you can. You can do that.
But you'd have to have it like extended with some little piece of brass that would be fragile and it would look weird. And then is Konerko in there too? Konerko with the bare hand grab? So you got Burley ass over tea kettle? And like, what moment from the flip are you grabbing to make it iconic? And is the ball represented? Is it post-flip? You know?
Yeah.
It can be complicated.
I feel like maybe his reaction to the wise catch might be a good choice for a statue as well.
So what do you, I'm trying to picture, you mean, see, because he's got the perfect game reaction, and I think of this one, and there's a shot of it in there where the hands go to the head.
That's what I'm thinking.
So that, I don't think that's the wise catch.
I think that's
after Jason Bartlett grounds out for the final out, because the wise catch is what, out number 26.
Yep.
So Jason Bartlett, and as it's happening, Burley puts the hands to his head. That's pretty damn good.
Here, let me look at this again.
Yeah, look at the wise catch and see if there's something for it, because something from that game would be awesome. 8 rows behind the plate for the last 4 innings of that game.
Yeah, that was a crazy day, because I was here. And it was like, something's happening over there, y'all.
Yeah, me and Mac did our show from there above. And then I was in the press box and I got the text from Mac saying there's an extra seat.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking I had these two things inverted.
Okay.
You're right. That's so, the pose I want.
That's the pose you want. Hands on the head after the final out. That's pretty great. So I think that's a really good one. And then another one that Margulis had, which is pretty fun, the tarp slide. How you guys feel about the tarp slide?
Ooh.
As a statue? It's pretty low. You'd have to have the pedestal real high. It'd be hard to see the tarp slide from the fan's perspective. Do you point it downwards so you could see him sliding at you?
Well, we have Mr. Sox and Captain Sox over there on the other side of the glass.
Yeah.
Who do you want to be, Tanny? Which one?
Well,
can I be Mr., please?
Well, if I'm the captain, I've been dishonorably discharged. I promise you that. Hey, yep. Lawrence, if they do that tarp one, is your guy Kenny going to have to veto that one?
Yep.
He never approved of Burley going out there on the tarp.
You just have to have a statue of Kenny out there, too, just shaking
his
head.
Oh,
and to be
God.
Honest, I get it. It was fun, but I get it. That's your horse right there. For precedent's sake, in Cincinnati, be careful, Ryan Port's going to run in here right now, but they have the Pete Rose statue out
great.
Front where he's sliding head first.
Yes.
And they have it on a raised pedestal, so it's like eye level. So like it can work in that regard.
But,
they have
but,
to do it
no,
that
it's a
way.
Reds pedestal.
but there's no ground, though, under Pete, right? You kind of need the
no,
tarp
there is.
And the ground.
There is, because his arms are actually on the ground.
Okay.
So you could very easily do something similar with Burley sliding on the tarp.
That's pretty damn fun. I think I really like those two ideas of the tarp slide and the perfect game pose at the end.
I think the perfect game pose is what we want.
I go back and I can just close my eyes and picture Mark Burley's smile. He has one of the most infectious smiles in baseball, if you were to make a list. Dan Zimborski, go make a list about that. Bernstein will read it tomorrow. I think he's got one of the best smiles in the history of baseball.
Wow.
I think it should be the hands to the head with Burley's smile, because that's what I'd like to remember.
Yeah, mitt on top of the hat, along with his, you know, I think that's
really
that's
nice.
That's the moment,
that's
right?
That's really cool. Yeah, that's a great forever moment. Yeah.
Shane's right, though, and he was... At
about
Sox
the Bernstein
Fest.
Reading list thing?
Yes.
You can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Oh. Sorry.
Shane does know him like that, though.
But on Friday at Sox Fest, we got to see it. Like, he was nothing but smiles and a little bit of tears. And it was great to see him like that. It's great to see some of the guys that you covered and they were always burdened to see them unburdened. And that's kind of, I was looking at Burley and I'm like, you are unburdened right now. Like, this is joy. We are getting, I always felt like that with Konerko, where you
He was pained. He was absolutely pained to be doing the game.
Yeah, like
living the game.
Like, you just wanted to be like, because it never showed up in the way that he treated people.
Yeah.
Konerko was always great. He was always thoughtful with
answers. Had that a little bit? Kerry Wood had that a little bit.
Burdened.
Yeah, burdened.
Burdened by expectation.
Burdened by expectation, and his whole career, as good as it wasn't enough for what he dreamed of and what everybody else dreamed of for him.
And I think we've kind of finally gotten to unburdened Kerry Wood.
I think we have, in a similar way.
I think it took a while for him to let some of it go and be like, dude, your career was kind of amazing.
He was giggling with Sammy Sosa at the Cubs convention.
I told you, boombox.
Yeah. All right, so those are some of Margulis's ideas. It's a great column. It's a fun thing. I think we settled on it. I think it is going to be the perfect game pose. It would be my prediction as it stands here today.
It's a beautiful moment, and every White Sox fan should be able to relive that when they pop up at 35th and Shields.
So I brought the Sox thing to this party in this segment, and you bring in the Cubs thing.
So I saw Paul Sullivan's piece about the yard, the new thing that the Cubs are doing out in center field, the center field bleachers, where they've created kind of this high roller area where you can go out there and you can bring your people, and it's kind of like a picnic table and you can bring a cooler. And I think it's interesting. Here's where I struggle with stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Our access changes the way that we interact with the game. You and I have not had to pay. We don't have to. We have. But we don't have to pay to go watch baseball. When we go, you and I have the opportunity to be on the field. We have the opportunity to watch batting practice up close. So our experience is not always the same as the person who listens to us.
I largely agree. I happen to have a meatball Cub fan wife who wants to bring her kids, and sometimes we bring Ruben, so I have a lot of fan experiences.
I know, but for us, there is
a different level of access for
that,
sure,
that we have that can maybe color the way that we look at it.
Certainly.
And in the moment, when reading about what this is, I'm like, you know what? That's kind of cool. It might be worth the premium to do it, especially at a place like Wrigley where the room isn't the same.
Right.
It always feels like everyone is kind of crammed into Wrigley. And that can be a lot of fun, too, when the Cubs are good and the weather is nice. But I looked at that as someone who struggles with crowds. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me.
To paint the picture a little more. It's the yard. It's called the yard, and the bleachers just above and to the right of the batter's eye in center field. And you rent a space, could be from either four people up to 50 people, actually. So whatever size group you are, each rental, you get an exclusive table with high top seating and a cooler. And in the coolers, it's unlimited beer, seltzer, wine, and non-alcoholic drinks. And I assume that means the cooler sits there with you through the ninth inning.
I would imagine.
So you are in a bleacher space without the drink cutoff in the seventh, which is a key thing.
Low end, 175 per.
175 per, which includes all you can drink, and you get a game day meal, a ballpark meal. So that means you either get a small Cheval burger, a hot dog, or a vegetarian option. So you get something to eat, and you get unlimited drinks, beer, seltzer, wine, and others for $175. And bleacher tickets these days are what, $80? $85? $90?
I feel like this is definitely worth it. I do sympathize, though, with the Cub fan is like, man, this seems like a really cool experience. This also seems like I'm being priced out of a really cool experience, that this is something that is only for the elites. So now, like, there's a literal separation between you and other fans in an area that you'd love to access.
Yeah, the bleachers is very egalitarian, and it's one of those places where anybody is supposed to be able to be there. I understand what you're saying.
I keep falling back to where I wonder about this, and again, this is, I remember from the point of view that I look at this from. the way that we can consume games, Spiegs, now at home or on our phone.
Yeah, you're competing with it. Like, you got to win the attention of the fan, don't you?
Every team has got to figure something out to make the ballpark a draw or the ballpark experience a draw. We joked about it, but that $15 shake over at 35th and Shields, I went to games with people who hadn't tried it, and they were like, we're getting that.
It was the Campfire Milkshake was the MVP of the White Sox 2024 season.
There's no doubt about it. And you start thinking, I appreciate...
Should have represented them at the All-Star game, in my opinion.
I agree. It was a little too hot, though, but there should have been something.
It could have started.
It could have started.
I don't want to embarrass you guys. It did. The camera just never showed it.
That's right.
No love for the Sox ever on national television.
No announcement.
They got out there in right field for a half an inning.
They mic'd it up. They should have mic'd it up.
They didn't even call it by the right name. They called it a Sunday.
Oh,
and what
cool.
You can do is you could just the Cubs and Sox could team up. You could take the cooler from the yard and put the Campfire Milkshake in that, and then you got yourself a thing.
Oh, now we got a crosstown thing, right? There.
Yeah, why not?
Can I push back on the exclusivity of the yard?
Sure.
Can I push back on that a little bit?
Sure.
Not everybody gets to just drive a BMW. Not everyone is entitled to an expensive car. Not everyone is entitled to an expensive home. Not everyone is entitled to sit wherever they want in a baseball stadium. Not everyone's entitled to sit wherever they want at a play. This is just what some people can afford and what some people can't. If you want to go to a Cub game, go on StubHub the day of and get yourself a $20 ticket. Get yourself a $10 ticket. You will get it a couple hours before the game. Just because this is more expensive, I don't think the Cubs are doing anything wrong. This is no different than a suite at any other park, professional park in any sport in America.
All right. Shane is making his pitch to replace Bill O'Reilly, and I love
him. Oh, man.
Now, Hurd, see, here's the thing, though, Shane. Hurd.
I just have an issue with entitlement.
Well, no, but it's like when Fenway got renovated, these kind of spaces were invented. And when Wrigley got renovated, they followed suit and invented these kinds of spaces. And everywhere around sports, to Lawrence's point and to your point, these kind of spaces are getting invented and crafted in. Soldier Field has one. What's the beer? There's like a beer deck.
Yeah,
the Miller Lite deck up there.
The Miller Lite deck, and where you know you can pay a premium and get unlimited. There's like certain ways you can do it. There's obviously that concourse section of Soldier Field that's carpeted. It's like, and the Sox have sections like that as well.
Yeah, we didn't talk about like the Jim Beam Club like this. We don't talk about the Scout seats like this.
Or the what's the suite that's on the lower level, because I think that's like the best thing.
I think that's the Jim Beam one, like directly below the press box.
The Guaranteed Rate Club?
No, the actual suite. There's a suite that's on the concourse.
Right. That's right above the home plate?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right next to the organist booth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
That is an incredible spot because you got good outside seats right underneath the deck as it's right there, and you get the all-inclusive kind of experience.
And guess what? It's just a little bit more expensive, and people who can afford it can go. You're not just entitled to go.
Well, here's the thing, to add on to what you're saying, Shane.
Yeah, because like if a bleacher seat is $80-$90, you're paying $175 and you're getting all you can drink. You refill it before the sixth, you're drinking through the ninth, you're actually doing very well.
Well, yeah. I also wonder, too, is it better for the fan to pay for two great experiences instead of four or five okay experiences? Would you rather say, man, me and 10 of my friends are going to get our seats over at the yard at Wrigley.
Going yard.
We're there. You've already written the slogan for them. There it is. We're going yard at Wrigley. Mm. And maybe you only go to a couple of games.
Yep.
Instead of going to six games, where you're sitting wherever. You're sitting on the right field line or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And you get that one chance and you do it right.
And you do it up big.
And then if you play your cards right, within a decade, you become the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Right. because you've been going to games for a decade, and then all of a sudden the Bears have a job open.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, I used to be there all the time.
All of a sudden you're taking a picture, signing your contract with your three kids and your wife standing right there.
And you got all those shirts, all those long sleeve Cubs shirts.
Yeah. You're taking a picture in the Bears locker room of your kids posing with stuffed bears in front of Caleb Williams' jersey.
Yep.
His locker. Like they've been dreaming of this the entire time, which apparently they have. And then George says, see, most guys I talk to want the job. He's Rick Camp.
Fib inside of the mob says, Lawrence, don't make me choose between my kids. Hey, that's on you. Which one of them has been good? The good one gets to go yard.
Man, it's always the childless. It's always the childless.
The bad one, he's got to stay home.
Or I mean, it's the belt. I'm childless, and I know I'll pick a favorite kid.
Yeah, you will,
are you
right?
Kidding me? I think Cubs knocked it out of the park, and I can't wait till we get to do one of our shows there.
It looks awesome. It looks absolutely awesome. It's a smart way to compartmentalize that higher section of the bleachers and make it yet another interesting experience that people will want to have.
Can we, if we do the show, Shane, can we at least do it in between May and August there? That would be good. I don't want to do an April show from there. I'm sorry. I just don't. That would be bad.
There's a lot of listeners texting in a variety of, yeah, no, this is cool and everything, but it's tough when they're not spending all the money they could on the ball players.
That's fair.
And I totally understand that perspective. I do, though, think that they are not done.
Well, why don't we find out about that? John Morosi is going to join us to discuss all of those things or who might be out there. And we'll also talk to him about what's happening with Luis Robert. Uh-huh. That Luis Robert. Next on The Score.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, John Boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Hey, where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
What I was told yesterday from sources is that one team to watch and the potential of moving Dylan Cease, the Chicago Cubs.
Ooh.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me means the world.
Sources confirm that fun.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. You should download the Circa app today and talk a little bit of baseball with John Morosi, who joins us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. John, thanks for joining us. I wanted to start with the Luis Robert smoke. Is that real?
Well, I do think that the White Sox remain open for business. The essential truth of where they're at as an organization right now has not changed since the end of the season or the start of the winter meeting. So I would say the White Sox continue to engage on him, but we heard the report recently about the conversations between the White Sox and Reds about him. It didn't seem like it went anywhere. I do believe he is still available. A number of teams are still looking for outfielders. And the one thing that I would say that could help the White Sox eventually move Luis Robert is very few teams are completely content with their situation in center field. Very few. And yet, having said all of that, he's coming off of a down year relative to what his full potential is. I would say at this point, unless someone really overwhelms you or unless there's an injury in spring training, you start the season with him. You hope that he has a better first half. And then because of how crowded the middle part of the standings tends to be, and we expect the White Sox to be at the bottom of the standings again, take advantage of the fact that you can be an early seller, and if he has a good first 2.5 months, it's a better trade, I think, for the White Sox in June than it would be right now.
Interesting. Before, I want to ask you another one about that, but I got a comment, because you're on Twitch, the off-season beard is solid, in my opinion. What do you think, Lawrence? It's a little inconsistent, but that's okay.
I don't know if we needed to like rag on it being inconsistent. I like it, John. Is this going to be a lifestyle change for you?
Great question.
That is a great question. So, Lawrence, it has been, and Speaks, thanks for noticing it. It has been a big topic of discussion around the Morosi household.
Sure.
I'm 42 now. Look, I'm not cool. I'm not fooling anybody. But between my wife and my daughters, you know, there's probably a 50-50 split if it's a good idea or a bad idea. I do know this, that it's probably going to have to go away around opening day. But let's at least take a look at it and see where it stands in the latter part of March before we judge it too harshly.
Yeah, but you don't know. By the time opening day comes around, that beard could be in the best shape of its life. That's true.
It could be. Yeah. I'm going to be sending dispatches out during the course of spring training that the beard is in the best shape of his life. And by the way, I'm playing in a charity hockey game tomorrow. I feel like the facial hair.
Oh, sweet.
With that vibe.
Yeah, that's a charity hockey beard.
What charity are you playing for?
So it's the Shocks and Saves game. It's in Saginaw, Michigan. Yuri Fisher went into cardiac arrest about 20 years ago in a game for the Red Wings. And fortunately, his life was saved because there was a defibrillator at the side of the ice in Joe Louis Arena. So Yuri Fisher, he's doing well now. He's able to skate. Of course, didn't play after that competitively, but his health is good. And so he's out there on the ice tomorrow before the Saginaw Spirit game. And we're going to be, I'm going to be joining a team of, there's going to be a handful of ex-NHLers there, which makes me a little nervous. And then doctors and first responders, which I feel a little bit better about. And so I'm going to be surrounded by former pros and life-saving people, and then me. So we'll see how we do.
That is excellent. We know of your passion for hockey. That's beautiful that you're taking part. John Morosi here with us on the Spiegel and Ohm Show here on 670 The Score. So last offseason, the Dylan Cease rumors were hot and heavy. And with 2 years left on his deal, John, and then we got to March and they decided they didn't want to risk him actively starting the season because of the fear of injury, and they made the deal in the middle of March for whatever they could get. And it strikes me that this Robert rumor could be Sox floated to try and get the interest up and keep it going. And I wouldn't be shocked if Luis Robert is dealt in March, just like Dylan Cease was.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And that also allows for the psychology of where we are at right now relative to spring training starting. Guys, we are 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. And so when you get this close and you're having your meetings, unless you can get someone like Bregman or Alonso at a complete discount, your general default is, hey, let's take a look at what we've got internally before we make some choices about how much money we're going to spend or a trade that we're going to make. It's worth noting, we are still about 3 weeks away from the one-year anniversary of when Bellinger signed back with the Cubs. 3 weeks away from that still. So we've got some significant road ahead of us in terms of the journey from now until opening day. It's still 2 months. That's a long time. And for me, for someone in Robert's situation, who has faced questions about consistency in the past, for him, if he wants to find himself on a winning team, if you want to be a Philadelphia Philly at some point in time this year, I know they were linked a bit last year, they made some different moves, they brought in Max Kepler, but the point being, if you want to get yourself to a championship organization now, the best way that Luis Robert Jr. can make that happen is by showing up in great shape, staying healthy, and being a pro in every sense on off the field. And because the scouts are going to be watching, no matter what happens, he is one of those people that I think in spring training, if you feel like you can get him at something of a discount, a talent like him, who objectively might be one of the most 10 or 15 most talented players in the world when he's right and when he's going. So I think that the way in which he shows up to camp and the professionalism he takes through spring training will be closely watched by a lot of scouts in the Cactus League.
John, what do you think of the Cubs taking advantage of the Astros trying to get underneath the CBT?
Well, I think that, so a couple things. The Tucker deal, I thought that worked out really well. And of course, then the Presley deal was the second one. So it was obviously a two-parter, if you will. I like it. It would not surprise me if eventually from Houston's side of things, it leads to Bregman going back home, so to speak. But I think that Presley was an excellent buy low by the Chicago Cubs. I am a big Ryan Presley fan. There are not a lot of pitchers active in the major leagues right now who know what it's like to throw the last pitch of a World Series. And Ryan Presley does. He has been in the middle of a lot of different postseason situations. He has been in some big moments. There's a reason why when Mark DeRosa had a chance to name anybody his closer, any American-born relief pitcher could have been the closer on Team USA, he chose Ryan Presley. It says a lot about the amount of confidence people have in him. I thought last year he handled the change of role because of Hader arriving with about as much professionalism and grace as you could have expected. And now he's right back where he belongs in the ninth inning. He's got Tucker there with him. I just think it was a phenomenal move by the Cubs front office. And we'll see if there might be one more move to come with Dylan Cease, potentially. I heard the Cubs on him in the last 24 hours here or so. But I think in general, the Cubs did a very good job of being opportunistic and making some really smart moves after the first of the year.
So you mentioned it, Dylan Cease possibly back to the Cubs. This is the rumor, but they were also asking about Michael King out there, right? So they're still sniffing around. Their level of activity is what interests me right now, because they're not a complete team, and it sounds like they know it at the very least. Do you think they have a shot at Cease?
They do. They do, because the number that I mentioned this morning on MLB Network, they've got 7 of the top 100 prospects in the industry right now, Spiegs. That is a massive number and gives you some ability to acquire talent, bring it in. You think about the relative disappointment that last year was for the Cubs. I think they've already had a winning offseason to date. And if they bring in someone like a Dylan Cease on top of Tucker, on top of Presley, you've got to love that, I think, if you're a Cubs fan, especially when you still have plenty of currency left in your farm system to either call guys up or make trades during the course of the season. I tend to think that Shaw's going to get a chance to win a job on this team, and therefore he will not be part of a theoretical Dylan Cease deal. But look at the outfield, and whether it's Owen Casey or Alcantara, all of them can't play. At some point, you need to look at who you've got and say, let's go for this. And I think show a little bit of urgency in year two with Craig Counsell in what I would describe as a very winnable division. The big picture point here, guys, is this. The same teams that we heard linked to Juan Soto at different points of that courtship and then other high-profile free agents, Corbin Burnes comes to mind, a lot of them are big market teams who have control of their own TV networks and therefore are a little bit, I stress, immune to some of the more existential questions about revenues of the game. Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Blue Jays, and yes, the Chicago Cubs. They are in that select group of a half a dozen teams who know who they are. The Cubs know who they are, what they're supposed to be, and getting Dylan Cease with even 1 year left on his deal would be a big market move by a big market team who needs to show to everybody, especially in their own market, that is who they are still.
Well, the Cubs fans are going to jump up and support John Morosi in the next baseball election with that one. You know, it's an interesting thing, John, because 2 years from now, when the collective bargaining agreement expires, I think there's people within the Cubs that feel like we're looking at a stoppage, maybe even a skip, and a complete reordering of the institution's financial balance. Do you fear that in 2 years?
I don't, because of a couple things. We've been able to, so salary caps have been in vogue in pro sports for about 30 years now in various forms. And we have negotiated, the people in charge of the sport have negotiated CBAs repeatedly without having to have a salary cap. There are ways to balance the playing field here without a hard cap. You could have a floor. You could have a floor instituted that would then also balance some different things with respect to salary arbitration. There is a solution here that does not require a cap. And part of that, Spiegs, is this. We have just seen in the last two winters, the Soto deal and the Ohtani deal. How could you, with those two contracts, just taking those two, for example, still so early in their life cycle, impose a cap on teams that have those contracts? How would you even make the math work? Would you say, okay, so Soto and Ohtani, you all have to take a 25% haircut on what your deal says it's worth because we've got to increase the minimum salary? I don't see how that happens. I really don't. It makes it, to me, unnecessarily complicated. Do I think there's going to be a contentious negotiation? Yes, but there was one last time, and they found a way to get through it without losing games. I think the way that this gets trickier, and what I will be watching carefully, is how much cohesion is there among the owners, and how much is there antipathy towards the Dodgers for what they have done, or Steve Cohen for what he is doing. And is it basically 2 versus 28 or 2 versus Yankees, Cubs, other large market teams, another line, and then the mid-market teams, and then the Marlins at the bottom? How do we look at this? So if that is all cleaved up and you've got so many different agendas, yeah, then I would get a little bit concerned. But we have seen some pretty contentious CBAs negotiated without having to lose games, and I am optimistic that's going to happen here again after 2026.
John, this was excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll call back about how the beard's looking by the time pitchers and catchers report, Cactus League starts. I'll keep you guys updated.
Challenge the comfort zone, John, and use the beard for some of those spring training reports.
I am not cool. I am not rugged, but hey, it's fun.
Why not change up the look? It's totally okay. That is John Morosi, and we thank him so much for joining us. Spiegs, in the next segment, at some point we should get back to the baseball stuff, even if it's tomorrow, because the Cease and the Robert thing are
there's a lot
fascinating.
There's a lot there with both of them. I agree.
But in the next segment, I am struggling, and I need you to help me with something.
Okay,
something NFL wise. There's something that happened that is really good, but I don't like it aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is trying to tell me
that you should.
That I should. And it brought about good things. Still don't like it. I'll go through it and get some help from my therapist and apparently my agent, Matt Spiegel. Next, here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Pat Tomasulo.
Well, look, I've had a good run.
You're the oldest. We could eliminate you. Tribute of Service would go on. They'd find somebody else.
Hey, wait a minute.
Afternoons on The Score.
Fairbairn knocks it through. We go quick to break. You know why? Because on the other side, it's a kickoff. We're going to watch another kickoff.
Joe Buck selling you the dynamic kickoff. Kick, push.
He is trying to sell you that. Lupe would never try and sell you that. But Speaks, we had this on the docket for today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I've been wanting to talk about it for the last couple of days, right?
Yeah.
I literally got an email while we were talking with John from the NFL.
The NFL emails you a lot.
Well, I'm on their emailing list.
Oh, that's why.
That's why.
I thought you guys had a thing.
No. Well, there was that one time. There was that one time where
and I thought it was
I got
weird
a talking to.
When the NFL said that they needed help through a Nigerian prince.
Something like that. Yep, there it is.
That's the sound of the email alert that Lawrence gets.
Yeah. So
what are they saying?
Well, they sent an email today, and they were talking about how this is like one of the healthiest seasons that they've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I saw concussions are down 17%.
Concussions decreased 17% compared to last season and 12% compared to 2021 through 2023 season averages. Jeff Miller, who is the NFL Executive Vice President overseeing player health and safety, said, "Today is an important milestone, but not the end of our work. Through improved equipment, rules, modifications, and continued cultural change, we will make the game safer and more exciting." The next paragraph says, "Dynamic kickoff."
Mm-hmm.
"The new dynamic kickoff rule worked as intended. Returns increased 57% in the regular season, and there were 7 kickoff returns for touchdowns, the most since 2021. Then they went on to tout all of the injury data because a lot of people were concerned. That's where a lot of big collisions were happening.
I get it.
And this is part of the reason that they made the change.
And I thought it was going to be a lot more exciting in terms of like wacky plays and fun plays and long returns. And it didn't actually pan out like that, but I still thought it was an improvement.
I don't know if I'm ready to call it an improvement from an aesthetic standpoint. And they do have the statistics to back up. You had more returns. There were touchdowns that were made and all of it. I know this is very get off my lawn, and as I've grown my gray beard in, it makes more sense.
You also don't like analytics.
No, I do.
Football, you don't.
I really don't. Football. It's a lot of interdependency that would render a lot of those things moot.
I get that. Didn't mean to take it. I was just talking to the guy on his lawn, but go ahead.
Sorry.
A 1-year contract means the same thing to a manager as it does to a player. There's not a lot of faith there.
That's right, Art Howe.
Philip Seymour Holmes.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Make it rain. So I don't like this.
You don't like the kickoff?
I don't. I've tried to get down with it. Kaylin Kaler was on Football Night in Chicago, and she broke it all down to me, and I was like you. I was like, oh, there might be some opportunities for some exciting things to happen because of the landing zone and all that stuff. I just don't like it. And I know that it's probably safer for everyone, and I do care about player safety.
So what don't you like aesthetically? That the fact that they're not running full speed at each other? You got used to that feeling of seeing the collisions?
It's not even the collisions. It's almost just like
the energy of it.
Yeah, it's kind of gone, and you see these kickoffs, and then everyone's just kind of there. And now we can all move. And it's, I don't know, I don't dig it. And I thought I would.
Uh-huh. I was not bothered by it in that way. It's a weird first split second when you see everyone just standing there and waiting. And you see the first, 30 yards, 35 yards of the field just empty.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. It's a weird look, and it's a weird start. I think you could train yourself to look away for a split second and not...
I'm hideous. Look away.
Not get that first effect, because I did not find the same lack of aesthetics that you did. Once the returner gets up to the area where he catches up to the rest of his team and like they enter the picture... Then I felt like I was watching a kickoff. I was okay. Yeah, there is that split second where you don't see anybody, and then the next split second you don't see the full speed abandon, that recklessness. But that's the price, the smallest price. Think about the price that you're paying, Lawrence, for the health and well-being of 70% of the humans.
I know.
Around whose lives you make a living, sir.
I do, and I care about players.
I know you do.
More than most.
So sacrifice that moment. Suck it up. Don't make it about you.
Yeah, you're probably
Sacrifice right. Sacrifice that moment and live in the discomfort briefly, and then try to get back on board with the play.
And maybe I'm spoiled too because I cover the entire Devin Hester run. So when you're used to that, something cool's getting ready to happen. No, Devin's back.
Really, honey, it's not all about you.
Thank you, Pat.
You're right.
But
you're right,
I understand, though, because who's the kicker for the Chiefs or the kick returner for the Chiefs? I forget
Dante
his name.
Dante Hall?
No. The one now.
Oh.
The one now. They grabbed midseason.
Not Mecole Hardman.
No, because they grabbed him midseason, and he came on, and he had a big return for them, I believe, in the AFC Championship. I'm thinking
of a guy.
Pat says Nico Remigio.
Yeah, that's
right?
It.
Isn't that right, Pat?
That's it. That's exactly it. Mr. Remigio, I assume he goes by.
Yeah, we did pick him up halfway through, and Nico, Mr. Remigio, has done a great job for us. Had a 44-yard return last week.
See?
Makes it a lot easier for me, I'll tell you that.
But Pat, to Lawrence's point, it didn't look like he was going that fast.
No, I mean, he's not really going that fast. Definitely not as fast as Mr. Hartman would go, and we would love to have him back and healthy and back on the team, but Mr. Remigio has been doing a great job for us, and his nice Italian roots.
I was going to say, it felt obvious. You guys already had a Remigio's restaurant in
the
stadium.
We do,
It's nice to have a player to go along with that brand.
Yeah, the Italians, they're not really used to running from anyone.
Careful, Pat.
He hasn't evolved to being that fast.
Is that Pat or Brittany?
Put him on a ship and let him take over someone's land, and maybe he'll be a little bit quicker.
I like that Pat has his own interviewer. He's got his own handler.
I'm like Jim Gray.
Jim Beige.
Yeah.
Jim Beige. He's there. Yeah, Mr. Remigio, everybody raving about what a good kick returner he is. I'm like, that guy didn't look that fast. To your point, Lawrence. But yeah, I think the key is, I'm sorry for your aesthetic discomfort.
Yeah.
But you got to just live with it. You have to.
I love everything else about the game, and I'm just like, oh, I hate this.
You got to learn to accept it.
I hate
it. It's a little something. You living with that discomfort is a gift that you're giving to the brains of
the
football players.
You're right, and that's the way that I should look at it. It sucks, but it does go to the greater good of players being able to play longer, make more money, which I'm all for.
And a kickoff still existing.
Yeah, and there's still exciting plays on kickoffs.
There can be.
All right. I appreciate the therapy session on
no
this.
Problem. $20 copay. You can just use it towards pizza.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pizza left over over at BBM.
How long is too long?
7 hours, 6-7 hours probably, right?
I think that's what, 11:30 or noon pizza delivery over there?
Yeah.
It's about 4 o'clock, so 4 hours.
Can you? Probably, right?
Yeah, I think you're still good.
Okay. When we come back, we'll ask Dave Wanstead about Jimmy Johnson's restaurant that Spiegs went to has a review of.
Uh-oh, I have to tell him now.
Next on The Score.